Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
So, as I was saying, time for the next instalment in our beginner's guide to some of the best music stars of all time. You know the score by now. We take a band or a singer that you think you know and we make an argument for a deeper dive into their back catalogue. And our artist today? Tom Waits, of course, and here to talk about him is Adam Maguire. Now, Adam Maguire, first things first, to those who would seek to pigeonhole their RTE broadcasters and only ever want to hear you doing the business, what qualifies you to talk about Tom Waits?
I don't know what qualifies, you know, but I've been a fan for a very long time. I'm trying to think, must be 25 years or so since I first heard Tom Waits. And I've also had that experience of hearing an album of his where it was a bit more experimental end of his back catalogue, saying, okay, I'm not really sure here, but finding my way in, going back to the start, and making my way the whole way through, and really enjoying.
Well, that what qualifies you then.
I've also got my 5-year-old daughter. She's a big fan of Tom Waits as well, which is one of my proudest parenting achievements. So I think that's one string in my bow. Anyway,
well, you have done that thing of persisting with some of the harder to comprehend albums, because, let's face it, this is a man who divides opinion.
Yeah, even within his fan base, you're going to have people who only like his earlier folky, bluesy stuff. Fans of his think that's the boring stuff and they like the more experimental, you know, angular stuff that comes later on. There are people then who think they know Tom Waits and think they don't like him. You know, he's the weird guy with the Cookie Monster voice, which we will talk about in a minute. And then there are others who think, well, I don't know him at all. I don't know anything about him. But there's actually a pretty good chance that they do know at least some of his songs, because many of them ended up being big hits for other artists rather than being Tom Waits songs.
Give me the list.
Well, we have Downtown Drain there is a great example. Rod Stewart made that a massive hit, made a lot of money for Tom Waits as well. He's covered a couple of other Tom Waits songs over the years. We also have covers by The Eagles, Tim Buckley, Bette Midler, Elvis Costello, Phoebe Bridgers, Bruce Springsteen, Tori Amos, Norah Jones, The Ramones, Willie Nelson, and that's just a few. Johnny Cash is in there as well. His songs have also popped up in plenty of TV shows and films. Songs have featured in Fight Club, Shrek. One song, Time, was used both in The Gilmore Girls and Peaky Blinders, which is a nice range of type of program, and that kind of captures the range of his kind of music as well. And one of his songs, Way Down in the Hole, was also the theme music for The Wire, the HBO show, so a lot of people would have seen that, maybe not realised it was Tom Waits.
Great song. But The Gilmore Girls to Peaky Blinders, that's really something else, isn't it? I loved your use of the word angular there to possibly describe the stuff which is unlistenable to as far as some people would be concerned, because this is one of the things about him. You can't really pigeonhole exactly what it is that he does.
No, not really, because he switches genre. You can't say he's a bit like this person, and I think that's part of what appeals to me and what I think makes him so great. His wife once said that all his songs are either grand weepers or grim reapers, and you know, just to capture that range that of type of music that he hits on. And even in one album, especially later on, he can skip across different genres as well. You know, but I think what's important is that underneath all of that, you know, even underneath the noisy angular stuff, you will find a great tune and incredible lyrics. He's a really fantastic storyteller, and I think that's, you know, for people looking for a way in, you know, the stories are a great place to start.
So take us back to the very beginning, please. Where was he born? Who was he born to?
Yeah, he was Tom Allen Waits, born December 1949 in California. Sonia. Fairly normal middle class household. His father was a teacher. His mother was a housewife. Far away from the image he'd later project of this kind of dysfunctional guy. But there was a lot of upheaval when he was a child. His father, Frank, left the family, which obviously had a huge effect on him. He took up interest in music. By the time he was in his 20s, he decided he wanted to make a career out of it and moved towards LA. And his first actual job was a songwriter for other artists. He was paid to turn in a song a week for other people. But then he ended up using those songs on his debut album. And both he and his label were looking to ride on the coattails of Bob Dylan, as well as that, you know, Laurel Canyon music scene of Jackson Brown and James Taylor. So the first album he has, Closing Time, which is a good starting point, I think. It's very folk, very country sounding, quite easy listening, ballad heavy, songs about love and heartbreak, but a good way in.
That is what I would consider to be quintessential Tom Waits, but this was something that he turned his back on.
Yeah, he quite quickly moved on from this, you know, from and on the whole folk country scene. He was getting more interested in the blues, the counterculture writers like Jack Kerouac, Kurt Vonnegut, and he even criticised the way Closing Time and songs like Martha were produced. He didn't like all that orchestration behind his gruff voice. He said it was like painting a picture with mud and then putting a beautiful frame on it. I kind of like the juxtaposition. I think it works really well, and songs like Martha, they're really beautiful and written by a guy in his late teens, early 20s, a lot of maturity there as well. And I think it's also a great example of where he starts to go, because, you know, it's a beautiful song, but there's no happy ending in there either. And he starts really focusing in on these kinds of stories and the sound that he wants in his second album, Heart of a Saturday Night.
Let's hear the opening track from that, New Coat of Paint.
Let's put a new coat of paint on his lonesome old town.
The barfly Tom Waits starts.
Yeah, it really is. And it's a real clear change of direction. It's only a year after Closing Time came out as well. I think it's really amazing album. Not a bad song on it, in my opinion. And fans of Frank Sinatra might hear kind of that kind of loungy kind of influence. And even there's a nod to In the Wee Small Hours in this as well. The cover is quite similar and the mood of the album too. But it's a lot rougher around the edges, that, you know, and we see that direction he's moving towards, focusing on the underbelly of city life, dysfunctional relationships, dysfunctional people, people who are maybe a bit worse for wear or isolated from society. And that's the path he goes on, and he continues further down that rabbit hole in his next album, Small Change. His music also starts to get that bit grittier as well.
And that's where we arrive at Tom Traubert's blues.
Old Sing Matilda, Old Sing Matilda, you go Old Sing Matilda with me. And it's a battered old suit case to a hotel someplace, and a wound that will never heal. No prima donna, the perfume is on an old shirt that is stained with blood and whiskey. And good night to the street sweeper, the night watchman, flame keepers, and good night, Matilda.
Too. That's a 6.5 minute long epic there. Semi-autobiographical, is based on time he spent roaming around the rough areas of Copenhagen with a woman called Matilda, which is why he borrows Waltzing Matilda for the choruses. Some think it's the best song he's ever written, particularly that verse that we heard there. It's a battered old suitcase to a hotel someplace and a wound that will never heal. You don't actually mention the person there, but you get a really vivid picture of the type of person he's talking about.
You also get a really good description of his voice, stained with blood and whiskey.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the voice.
Yeah, I mean, we've heard from the start, it was always a bit croaky, but he's really taken it up a notch at this stage. And there's no denying he is leaning into it because, you know, it's part of that image that he's projecting, that barfly troubadour. And he can dial it up and down. Over the years and over later years, he shows off a lot of variety in his vocals. He can still deliver ballads with softness. He even brings in a falsetto into his voice later on. And he can do a kind of carnival barker when he wants to make that kind of noisier stuff as well. But it's not entirely put on either. On the back of the first two albums, he toured quite heavily. And that included an extended stint playing support for Frank Zappa. And apparently Zappa's crowd did not like him one bit. So every night he was going out to a very hostile crowd who were booing, throwing things at him. He had to try and be heard above that and badly strained his vocal cords in the process as well. But he was also playing into the image of the drunken weirdo. And increasingly it was becoming a reality. So by the late 70s, he was heavy drinking, heavy smoking, and that was really taking a toll on him too.
But he could, as you just suggested, dial it down when he wanted to, and it was the love of a good Irish woman that actually helped him in one respect.
That's right, yeah. Kathleen Brennan, a woman he met, this is in the late 70s, he basically had realised he wanted to get away from the image, the barfly image. He also realised for the good of his own health, he needed to kind of pack in this, you know, staying out late and drinking with, you know, down and outs and everything else. Kathleen Brennan is someone he met when he was working on a film with Francis Ford Coppola. A whirlwind romance. They were engaged within a week of meeting, married a few months later at 1 a.m. in the morning at the Always Forever Wedding Chapel in LA, a beautiful location. They honeymooned in Kerry as well, and they're said to go there regularly on holidays over the years.
Can we just do some of the more experimental stuff, please, before we leave off here? And I'm thinking particularly of Rain Dogs.
Yeah, that's right. People might recognise this song, title song Rain Dogs, if they know the show Black Books. It borrows heavily from it, but you'll hear the sound of it and you'll hear a big leap forward in terms of the sound he's making.
Inside a broken clock, splashing the wine with all the rain dogs. A taxi we'd rather walk, huddle a doorway with the rain dogs.
That album also featured Downtown Train, so he was doing pretty standard pop classics while also experimenting like
this. Yeah, and this album you have folk, polka, rock, blues, Latin music, you have a bit of everything. And Kathleen Brennan is a huge influence on this because she's encouraged him to just kind of do whatever he wants. He doesn't have to fit into a certain mold. She's introducing him to different types of music. And she's also starting to co-write with him as well. They're writing songs together. And as the years go by, she's becomes every song now, every time we had a song of the last decade or so, is co-written by Kathleen Brennan. So she's a huge influence on his change in direction.
Is he, are they still writing?
That's the million-dollar question for Tom Waits fans. His last album came out in 2011, so it's 12 years ago, and that's the biggest gap we've had ever in any of his albums. He's been popping up in a lot of films recently. Over the years, he's done a lot of acting, but in the last few years, he's pretty much only been doing that. He did do an interview in 2019. He told a French magazine he was working on an album called Battle Hymns. No mention of it ever since. Recently, Paul Charles is an Irishman who's been Waits' agent for 40 years now. In an interview with the Irish Examiner, he said he heard that Waits was starting to write again, so we have our fingers crossed, but we don't know for sure if he actually is going to put anything else out.
Okay, let's end then with Whistle Down the Wind. Why?
I just think this is a really beautiful song. It's later in experimental stage, but again, it's a very beautiful, simple ballad, but again, a gorgeous story, and I think it really just captures everything about Tom Waits, and really lovely song.
Adam McGuire, thank you very much.
I dream someday